Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Mully and Hall. Live and local. Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score. Mully and Hall flashback.
I have a tough time believing that Matt Nagy would have had a team meeting if he wasn't coming back. You know what I mean? You'd like to think that George would say, hey, meet me tomorrow first thing in the morning. So I think that Nagy and Pace are tied at the hip. I really do. I look for them both to be back. The Ted Phillips situation, I don't know enough about. That would be an easy one. If they wanted to do something and say, hey, okay, we are making some changes, that would be something that wouldn't surprise me. And I think the quarterback thing, whether Mitch is back or not, I think it's all going to come down to money. I don't think they're going to overpay him. If he wants to come back at a reasonable, fair number, I think they sign him back. That's just my opinion.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. It's always great to talk to Coach Watts. That he was on fire the other day when we got a chance to chat with him, and guess what? He's spot on in what he has talked about there. It does look like the chatter around the league, according to Big Z, is that Pace and Nagy will be back. The Mitchell Trubisky thing is a little bit different because there is a contract issue. You got to figure out what you pay the guy, how you go about it. There are not a lot of viable options out there at that position, and you're giving starter money effectively to your backup quarterback, who is Nick Foles. So, David, I don't know if you want to see that experiment kind of revisited, or if you believe that Mitch will return, but, you know, not the kind of change that maybe some people were hoping for if indeed Chuck Pagano has retired and that is the only move that's made.
Not at all. I mean, that is not accountability. That is not progress. That is, you know, embracing a status quo when you have, you know, every season for the last three, you've gotten worse. You went from 12-4 to 8-8 to backing into the playoffs. Yeah, but you finished with a losing record overall. You lost more games in 2020 than you won, and that is not progress. So I think we had been hoping, or at least a fan base had been hoping, to see some sort of substantive change at Hallis Hall. When in fact, if this is the case, if this is the direction, you know, swapping out defensive coordinators for, you know, retirement, however you want to phrase it and couch it, you know, Chuck Pagano, I think, was going to be replaced because of the way the defense regressed in the second half. That seems to be the consensus or the information around the league. And as for Mitch Mully, I mean, I think, yeah, that story is going to continue to evolve. As we sit here on January 13th, we could make a scenario. There's nobody out there and he can be an affordable contract. But there's also a lot of jobs that are yet to be filled. And there's a lot of front offices that are in the midst of the kind of change that you wanted to see at Hallis Hall. We don't know what quarterbacks might be cut loose. You don't know who's going to be out there. It will be a matter of supply and demand. But right now, I think that it would be just pure speculation based on what is available, what we think we project to be available. But that could change as well as we move forward toward free agency.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, there are ideas out there that, you know, Deshaun Watson could be available, right? Is Carson Wentz now locked into his job? What's going to happen with the Jets? I don't know that all those answers are obvious. I don't know that you're going to be able to handle some of the things that could come down the pike, because that's a ton of money when you're talking about some of these guys.
Sure.
Dak Prescott, you know, great. That sounds good. You're willing to pay that kind of money? It's a big ticket item, man. The quarterback.
Absolutely. But let me pose a hypothetical just while we're talking about the quarterback situation and how fluid it could be. What if the Jets hire a coach who just, you know, wants maybe to bring in, maybe what if Doug Peterson, that won't be Doug Peterson, but what if the Jets hire a coach who wants to bring in Carson Wentz or whoever it is that they go after, and they cut loose or trade Sam Darnold at a really affordable price? If you're the Bears and you end up with Sam Darnold, is that a guy that could be your bridge quarterback to somebody you draft, and then Mitch Trubisky's not part of the equation? There are all sorts of different scenarios you could create as we sort of have all this uncertainty around the league with the decision makers. So I just think it's premature to say one way or another where there aren't enough quarterbacks out there. So Mitch is definitely back, or the fact that he has to go, because you just don't know what the situation is until we get closer to the time where they have to make a decision.
Yeah. And I mean, here's the thing, presumably, and again, this is a big presume here. Presumably they're under kind of a win now mandate. We haven't seen, I mean, they haven't been up to this point, have they?
No.
B500 mandate, is that it? Is it just be mediocre mandate? Is that the Bears mandate? Whatever it is, we have this feeling that, oh, you know, now this time, right now, this is the one. You got to I mean it now. I'm not kidding around. It just, I think we're operating with a certain amount of win now mentality that might not exist within this organization. But if you were win now, then you would have to have a veteran quarterback, because you've got a veteran defense. You know, we've talked about it a little bit. There's time left with this defense. I'm not suggesting that everybody falls off the ledge immediately, but when you look at the younger players after Eddie Jackson's season, you would have to say that Roquan is kind of the only young buck coming up. I mean, the real stud type linebacker that you can build a team around, you need a defensive line. They're all veteran players. You know, you need a bounce back from that secondary. Eddie Jackson took a step back in his career. But I think that if you look at it, Roquan's the guy with the arrow pointing up. Is that enough? And okay, if you got age on your defense and that's your strength, and somehow the defensive coordinator change is going to make that your strength again, then what kind of an offense are you playing? And who's the trigger man? And doesn't it have to be kind of a veteran guy?
Absolutely. Bingo. You're right. And this is the way that we have to look at the Bears. We can't look at them the way that we traditionally have the last 3 years, because I don't, you know, it sounds like we're just being nothing but negative. I think we're trying to be realistic here without being pessimistic. But the defense is in decline, and you're not going to be able to make a lot of the assumptions that we've been able to make. So this complementary football, and if the Bears have learned anything and talked about anything, hopefully, in the last 48 hours of all these deep conversations at Hallis Hall, I hope it is that they have to make a bigger commitment to complementary football. And if they are able to do that, what that means now in the context of what they have and what they don't is that they have a defense that is probably going to be a bigger problem in 2021 and moving forward the next 2 years than the offense. And that may sound absurd when you have a unit with Khalil Mack and Akeem Hicks and Danny Trevathan and Eddie Jackson. And you know what? Those guys are not what they used to be, and maybe you can find a way to revive them. Maybe you can find a way to, you know, you have some talent there, but I think you have to assume and maybe prepare for the reality is that your defense isn't going to be what it once was, and so you have to make decisions. Every decision you make has to be with that in mind.
Yeah, I mean, I got to tell you, it is a real, you know, again, there's a difference between saving your job and addressing the issues and the problems of this team. And I would imagine all these goofy conversations we're talking about, there was a plan presented, right? Wouldn't you have to have a plan?
I would hope so.
Here's how we're going to be successful?
I would hope so. And we've talked about it before, Mully. When you walk into any building around the league, when you talk to anybody in the organizations of the 32 teams, something about each organization has got to be special. You've got to have something that, that you point to and say, okay, this is the reason we feel like we can either get to the playoffs or win a championship. Whatever your goal is, whatever your standard becomes, you know, you have to have something that, defines that and represents that and symbolizes that quest. What is it for the Bears? You know, that's what you had to hear from Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. How did they present their goals? What do they think that they do better and can do better than anybody else in the league or in the NFC or the NFC North? Because the gap is widening, and I think that in bringing both guys back, the fear is that it represents the Bears, you know, dreaming small, you know, not thinking about winning a championship, but thinking about just treading water and just getting backing into the playoffs and flirting with 500.
Oh, we are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. 312-644-6767. That is the Score listener line. It's powered by BetQL. Bet smarter. Beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. And David, you know, popular definition of insanity is repeating the same action and expecting a different result. What makes you think it's going to be different? Not you. What makes them believe that it's going to be different? I know that you're a sensible man. I'm wondering what their sense is that things will be different.
Well, I suppose that they feel like they're closer than their record suggested, and they're going to point to the things that are, I think, easy to poke holes through. And certainly, Mully, if they're bringing back the head coach for a fourth season, they do believe in the culture that has been questioned, and they do believe in a lot of those things that they'll point out, that the resilience of a team that lost six straight, rebounded with a three-game win streak, when in fact I think that if you take a step back further, as we said, they've lost eight of their final 11 games. So my sense is that is the way they'll present it, is that they have a culture here. They believe in Matt Nagy. They believe in his coaching staff, and they believe in their ability to, you know, to get over the top, because they're not that far away as everybody outside of the building thinks that they are. And I think that is probably the way, you know, right now they're trying to figure out how to articulate that and how to prepare for the questions that I think scrutinize that.
312-644-6767. That's the telephone number. Don is on the west side. Hey, Don.
Hi, Don.
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, I mean, I know you guys probably have your own opinion and probably, you know, going forward with everybody else. But me, I'm going to say mine. And I think that, yeah, they just making Chuck Pagano the fall guy. You know, so I'm pretty sure that that's the common theme around. And it's like the reason the defense was bad is because the offense couldn't stay on the field. They couldn't keep the defense off the field. So it's like, okay, so we got our fall guy now. So what is Matt Nagy going to do different? Are you going to bring in a different offensive coordinator? Are you going to be more flexible? Because I've read that the last two games he took the play calling over, and it was horrible if he did. I don't know if it's true or not. What is Pace going to do different? I know you guys don't have these answers, but, I mean, that's what's coming. You know, that's the first thing that's coming out of me right now, because it's irritating, man. Like, you know, what are we supposed to look forward to the next season? Say you only got one, who, Darnell Mooney, one receiver on the contract, or that they know for sure is coming back, that's worth putting on the field, no quarterback, one running back, like, and all these major contracts. So, you know, I just don't know what's going to be different going forward.
Thanks, Don. Good phone call.
Yeah. You know,
it really is, Mully. And I think this, and it sounds almost radical to suggest, but I wonder if when you look at the Bears objectively, and I don't want to be too down on the defense, but I think it's realistic to expect, you know, this decline to be something you prepare for. Is the strongest suit about the Bears, the biggest strength at this point in time, their ability to run the football and to be that kind of team? Could you go into 2021 emphasizing that, looking at maybe who your best player will be, David Montgomery, what your best position group could be, the offensive line, and trying to win that way? It doesn't sound like what Matt Nagy came here to do. He did not come here to run the I formation. Remember that. But maybe it's time to run the I formation. Is that conceivable, and is that their best path to victory?
We're going to ask that question of Michael Lombardi next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Coach, Matt Nagy has always said in the past that there will come a day where the offense is going to have to bail out the defense, because you guys have done that for the offense so many times. Is it nice to see the offense putting up all these points lately?
Boy, there's a loaded question. They're doing a great job. I mean, you look at 30-plus points the last 3 weeks. You know, Mitch is playing great. The offense is playing great. They're running the football, time of possession. Montgomery's, you know, grinding the offensive line. So they got a really good thing, you know, going on. And obviously, I mean, when you're sitting on the sideline chewing ice, you know, and they're keeping, you know, they're moving the chains and getting first downs and scoring points and all that stuff. It's good football. It's good team football. And it's something that, you know, I know Coach Nagy and everybody in this organization and the building wants all three phases to, you know, be lights out.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score. That is the voice of Chuck Pagano. Well, you heard the voice of Mark Grody asking him a question, and that was when things seemed so glorious while they were beating the worst defenses in the league. And gosh, was that offense looking good. And, you know, you talked about this idea of David Montgomery and the interior of the line and how the Bears are getting better. And, you know, you get James Daniels back. You go ahead and you draft some tack. I mean, I don't know what the plan is, but then you feature the run.
Right.
Really? Really, David? Really? I love you, but you really believe that Matt Nagy is, you know, the guy is just, he's going to spend the offseason trying to figure out new plays and new funky ways of running his scheme. I can't see him doing that, especially if he's under the must-be-mediocre mandate. You know, he's got to stay 8-8.
Well,
right?
I don't want to say that he is capable of doing that. I think it's something that they have to discuss. We'll get back to this because I think that we can ask somebody who has been through something like this in terms of bringing people back, dealing with mediocrity and trying to get out of the hole that they have dug for themselves.
Joining the show is Radio.com NFL insider Michael Lombardi. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sports books don't want you to see. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. You can also hear Michael on the GM Shuffle, his weekly podcast, available on Radio.com. And he's now brought to you by El Pamani Nissan in Melrose Park or North Avenue or APNissan.com. Michael, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Michael.
I am great. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Hope all is well.
Yeah, you know, I don't know how well things are. the rumors are that Pace and Nagy are back, and I don't know what that means for MVP Mitch, your guy. But Chuck Pagano has retired, and I guess he should never have drafted Mitch. I don't know. It seems like you're kind of pointing fingers, and it seems like the blame game doesn't touch the decision makers, the brain trust, but Chuck Pagano's paying a price.
Yeah, you know, I kind of said that on my podcast. I said it on the Lombardi line. I thought that this was a huge game for Chuck in the sense that, you know, the defense had to show that it could carry the team, because we knew in the West the competition gets better. defensively, like the Packer game and then, of course, the Saint game, the offense of the Bears is going to revert back to what the offense of the Bears truly is a team that struggles to beat good teams. I mean, their signature win was against Tampa Bay in week 5 of the season. So, you know, I mean, look, Chuck's 60 years old. He's a really good man, you know, and obviously the situation didn't lend itself. The defense didn't play well. You know, they couldn't get the level of play out of Mac that they were used to, nor the other side. I mean, the Robert Quinn signing, Mingo actually played better than Quinn did. So there's a lot of work to be done over at Hallis Hall. And what you hope for as a Bear fan is just objectivity, is removal of bias, and proceed along as if, you know, you are the team that got destroyed by New Orleans. You are the team that got beat soundly by Green Bay, not the team that was on a 3-game winning streak in December against bad teams.
So, Michael, let's do that. Let's look at this objectively. What is the rationale, do you think, that was being used to bring back the same head coach and the same general manager to a team that backed into the playoffs and really was exposed in the final 2 games of the season against elite NFC teams?
I think ultimately decision makers in the NFL don't like change. They don't like starting over. And I think they truly believe that you can alter people, change people, retrain people, as opposed to trying to train people. I think it's wrong. I think you're stuck with the situation because you have to evaluate decision-making on the landscape of what has occurred. And there are some good players. I mean, you can't say Pace hasn't picked good players. You just could make an argument that he hasn't made critical decisions at the critical spots. And I'm sure if you're Ted Phillips or the McCaskey family, you feel like he's given you the answers that he can improve in that area, and you feel like Nagy's going to improve as a coach, or you're asking yourself, who are we going to get that's better than him? And that question has to be answered by them, not by me.
What were you at all surprised that this happened, Michael, that there isn't seemingly the same accountability for the general manager, the head coach, that there was for the defense coordinator?
Well, no. I mean, you know, look, he's got the ear of the owners. I mean, he talks to the owners, and, you know, I wrote about this in Gridiron Genius, and this is one of Bill Walsh's pet peeves when he was coaching. He, you know, he felt like the general manager and the owners would sit there, have martinis and watch practice and, you know, go out to dinner after practice. And, you know, the personnel guy would say, you know, we're better than this are. We're better than we really are. You know, they're not coaching them well. It's that old player coaching scheme, right? And so the personnel guys blame the coaches. The coaches blame the players blame everything else. And it's just this vicious circle that is called the National Football League that gets blamed. And so the organizations that sustain success are the ones that don't have any coaching issues. They don't have any scheme issues. They just fundamentally focus on improving their talent base in an objective, non-biased way. And I think that's a hard dynamic to create in the NFL with all the personalities that are involved. And I think that Chuck was going to pay a price for this year. I mean, the defense has not been the defense that carried them 2 years ago when Vic was there. And then when Brandon Staley's having so much success in Los Angeles, you know, you've got to believe that if Staley was in Chicago, I'm not saying they're saying this, but you've got to believe that the thought process is, you know, if we would have kept Staley as the DC and not Chuck, we probably would have been able to keep the consistency within the scheme and can keep the turnover machine that we created when Vic was here.
How difficult is it for a team like the Bears that once they are in the middle, in sort of this the muck of NFL, you know, 500, 8-8, 8-9, whatever they were, how hard is it to get out of that once you have slipped into that?
You know, I think it just, you know, look, the one reality of the National Football League is you have to fix one position. You know, if Jim Collins were writing a book on good to great in the National Football League, he would just say, put all your resources in fixing the quarterback, and he would be right. I mean, until that, you can't get out of mediocrity until you improve the position of quarterback. You just can't do it. Because these games are won by quarterbacks. That's why they're making $40 million a year, $35 million a year. And if you have a quarterback who, like the Rams have, who is not exactly a great player, and you pay him $35 million, that's a double dip. Then you're really hurting your team. You know, so you've got to be completely objective with the quarterback position, and you've got to hit on that.
how attractive is the defensive coordinator position with the Bears when you consider, number one, it's like its own fiefdom, right? You're allowed to kind of run your half of the team. No one's going to bother you. And you got talent, and unfortunately you don't have time. You know, presumably at some point you could come here, you could move your family here, and you might not have the kind of time that you'd want in order to build the thing up. So how attractive is the job? What kind of coach do you get?
Well, that's a great question, because I think the first question anybody who's got – who has options is going to say, look, is this a one-year deal? I'm going to move my family. I'm going to, you know, sell the house. I'm going to get a house in near Hallis Hall, which is going to be twice as much as wherever I'm coming from, and yada, yada, yada. That list goes on and on, right? The fans never view it that way, right? You know, the fans never see the – You know, I'm making more money, but it's costing me a lot more money. And so that part of football and sports, the fans don't see. They just want the best coach. And Matt's going to have to really sell the coach on his longevity, his vision, so is Pace. But I think Phillips is going to have to get involved and show some support to entice the best candidate. Now, a lot of guys will, you know, look, one thing we know about the National Football League, there's only 32 head coaches. It's a harder job to get to the United States Senator. There's only 32 defensive coordinators. That's a harder job to get to the United States Senator. So guys are going to want the job. And they're also going to know they're going to get 2 or 3 years on a contract. So they're going to have financial security for 2 or 3 years, because the Bears aren't going to be able to hire somebody on a one-year contract and say, come on in and fix our problems. So you get some security. And look, you're playing with house money. You say, look, if I turn this thing around, if I make us better on defense with the talent we have, I think perhaps we can, then, you know, maybe you're in line to become a head coach.
Michael, we know how you feel about Mr. Trubisky, but looking forward, is it a match?
Really, I've played that close to the vest. I really have.
Is it a matter of supply and demand in terms of whether or not he will return in 2021? Do you think the Bears should wait and see, or should they declare early on, okay, we've got to move on, we've got to address this, because if he comes back, it's just more of the same?
Look, you know, it's really a black or white decision. It's not, you know, he's the only guy we can get. You know, when you're recruiting a player in college, maybe is the worst thing you could hear. If the kid says, I don't want to come to your school, that's great. If he says, I'm coming, that's even better. But maybe kills you. Maybe in the NFL is really the most destructive thing to a franchise. And so once you rip the Band-Aid off and you eliminate maybe from MVP Mitch, now it's forced you to search for a quarterback. And maybe you'll find the right guy. But as long as you convince yourself you've got Mitch there, you're never really going to be able to do it. And you must go out there and do it. And so I don't buy into the narrative, well, supply and demand, who's better than him? Look, frankly, the way they play, you could put anybody in there and be better. You've got to improve the position. And if you don't remove everyone from there, you won't do it. Remember, fear does the work of reason. And the only way you're going to improve your team is through fear, through the ability to say, unless we get this done. But if you don't put the number one need of the Chicago Bears at quarterback on top of your board and do everything this offseason to improve that position, then you're going nowhere fast.
I think that you're touching on something that's really important here, because, you know, here we are in sports radio in Chicago, so everybody wants change. Everyone's got an idea. Hey, you know what? Deshaun Watson's available, right? Trade for him. There are all sorts of ideas out there, but the reality of it is different. And then the other problem is you're not the only team that's desperate to fill the quarterback spot. There are teams out there that need help at that position. So you're in competition for the position. You have to be able to understand if some reclamation project, some land waste thing is going on, how is that going to work in your place? And, you know, you always have that danger of people making the tragic mistake of, well, whoever had him, they're not going to do what we're going to do. We're going to fix it by doing this. So it's this constant battle at that position around the NFL.
But until you admit you need it, you never search as hard. Desperation is often confused for courage. Until you have the courage to admit it, you're never really going to put all your resources into finding it. And it really doesn't matter. and it doesn't matter. And if I were the GM of the Bears, I would tell Mrs. McCaskey and Ted Phillips, look, this might not happen this year. It could be a two-year time before we're going to get somebody who's going to be under center for the long term and the benefit of the Chicago Bears. But we will find this player. We will do everything in our power to find this player. We will move every asset we have to fix this position because the game has changed dramatically. It's no longer a game that can be won strictly on defense. It has to complement the offense. But until we get a quarterback who can go into Chicago, who could go into Lambeau Field or can go up to Minnesota or can go to Detroit and dominate, we will not be able to hang another Super Bowl banner in our stadium. And we are going to do everything in our power. Everything in our power to get there. And we think we have the coach who can coach the quarterback. We think we have the ability to build an offense around this guy. So we're going to do it.
If you're advising the Bears, a team that is in search of an offensive identity in this offseason, would you advise them to use the franchise tag on Allen Robinson, or how would you advise them to handle that situation?
Look, I think to me, as Bill Walsh often said, until you get the team set, you can't put resources into wide receivers. That doesn't mean you don't like wide receivers, but now you're asking me to tie up franchise money to Allen Robinson. I don't think I want to do that. I need every nickel. I need every disposable available dollar to go find my solution at quarterback, right? And I got to fix the offensive line. Because what good is having Allen Robinson if I can't protect? What good is having Allen Robinson if I can't throw him the football? You know, the football's not a complex game. It goes really down to two things. You have to be dominant in the defensive line. You have to be dominant in the offensive line, and you have to have a blue-chip quarterback. Until those things get fixed, nothing else really matters. You know, you can say you've got great coverage, guys, but if you can't rush the passer, no one can cover for longer than 4 seconds. So the game's real simple. And it's really not a hard, complex plan to put together. The Bears need to fix their offensive line. That's been a disaster for 3 years. They've changed line coaches. It can't match the level that it needs to. It can't play with physicality when it has to. They've got to improve some of the aspect of the defensive line. They haven't been as productive there. And the search for the quarterback has to continue to go on. And so before you cloud anything up with noise of the other player, yeah, Allen Robinson's a good player. I want him on my team. There's no doubt. I think he's really a good player. But until I fix this problem, I can't really address that problem.
Michael, thank you. Thank you for an entire year of great insight and a lot of fun. We really appreciate your contribution to this show.
Great stuff. Well, thank you.
I enjoy being there, even though I get yelled at by a lot of Bear fans. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, buddy. That was Radio.com NFL Insider Michael Lombardi. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. BetQL is here to help us all make better bets through real proven analytics. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. You can also hear Michael on the GM Shuffle, his weekly podcast, available on Radio.com. Wow, that is a rich vein whenever we talk to Michael, and I really want to get into his ideas or his comments about the wide receiver position. I'm not saying that isn't accurate. I just think that's a wow type of moment when you really put it in perspective in that fashion, David. I know that you agree.
I do. Yeah, absolutely.
Very, very interesting stuff all the way around. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
Mully and Haw flashback.
Bill Walsh often said, until you get the team set, you can't put resources into wide receivers. That doesn't mean you don't like wide receivers, but now you're asking me to tie up franchise money to Allen Robinson. I don't think I want to do that. I need every nickel. I need every disposable available dollar to go find my solution at quarterback, right? And I got to fix the offensive line. Because what good is having Allen Robinson if I can't protect? What good is having Allen Robinson if I can't throw him the football? You know, the football's not a complex game. It goes really down to two things. You have to be dominant in the defensive line. You have to be dominant in the offensive line, and you have to have a blue-chip quarterback. Until those things get fixed, nothing else really matters.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. The Michael Lombardi, great work, guys, turning that around. Fascinating, his answer to your question about what to do with the riddle that is the salary cap, and how you take this jigsaw puzzle and piece things together with the cap going down. And part of the problem is that your best offensive player, Allen Robinson, is out of contract and heading to free agency, and you couldn't get a deal done with him. And now you have one option, which would be, well, you got two options. One would be tag him, and mm-hmm. that's a lot of money. The other would be let him go, and you get nothing in return for your best offensive player.
Neither one is palatable. I think you put yourself in this situation by being unable to strike a long-term contract extension with Allen Robinson for whatever reason. But that is, you know, water under the bridge. You can't worry or dwell on that right now. You're right. Those are your two options. $16 million is probably going to be the cost of a franchise tag for a team that's up against the cap with a lot of issues to address on their offense. That, to me, is a luxury you can't afford if you're the Bears. I understand and value everything Allen Robinson has meant to this team, but I just don't know that it's worthwhile to commit those kind of resources to one guy when you have so many other needs. And I think that there'd be money better spent by investing deeper into your offensive line. There's only five teams in the league that have spent less than the Bears have on their offensive line, and I think that's got to change. And so this is the offseason to begin that process. And as much as it would hurt to see him go for nothing, I think that that is something you have to really strongly consider if you are Ryan Pace and you now have been empowered to return for another season to try to put a winner together.
I'm very curious to see what they do with the offensive line, because I got to tell you, David, I would imagine that they have to be considering a left tackle at the 20th selection. And by the 20th selection, I mean their first round pick, which, again, maybe you move up to get that player if you feel like there's somebody that is a cornerstone type of player. When you just look at the NFL and you go team by team and you look at that position, you usually find first-round picks or high draft picks that are manning that spot, or guys that might have been a free agent somewhere but once were a first-round draft pick. It is a high strike rate with first-round picks at that position. Middle of the first round, late in the first round, you still find players at that position. It's a very interesting phenomena. I think they're pretty good. I think that, you know, you find first-round left tackles. You find undrafted centers. You can find a center on the undrafted market, and I think the Bears may have done it. I think
they
Sam Mustipher, yes. I think he's the guy moving forward. I think Cody Whitehair and James Daniel, you got to like that combination in the middle of the offense. And then you got Alex Bars, another undrafted free agent guy that gives you a depth piece on either side. But you got to fix the tackle positions, and maybe you draft one, and maybe you you can go forward with one of these guys, or maybe you have to go get one. But I don't know that if you're going to fix that position, you might want to do it in the draft.
Keep a strength of strength, and right now you feel like your offensive line at the end of this season developed into one of your stronger points. I'm not saying it's certainly a finished product, but you're right. You feel good about the interior of that offensive line. You discovered a center. I think that I said that Sam Mustipher provided a spark for the Bears offense, and that sounds silly to say, but it happened. Yeah, yeah. It kind of did. But so you have James Daniels coming back. You got Cody Whitehair there. I don't know that either one of those guys makes sense of moving out to tackle when you can draft one and buy one in free agency. And I do think that with the 20th pick, that going after a tackle makes a lot of sense. I think your first two picks in the draft have got to be, you know, prioritizing it now on January 13th. Things will change, but quarterback and offensive tackle are the two things that I would go into the draft looking for. And not ideal. You'd like to have a top three pick. You don't. But you can find quarterbacks in the second round. You can find them at 20, perhaps. But you're going to have to have a little luck, and you're going to have a lot of skill in terms of scouting these guys and getting to know them. That's why, to come back to today's story, that's why there's skepticism surrounding Ryan Pace returning, because he has yet to successfully identify what a good quarterback looks like.
And the wide receiver position, if you let Allen Robinson go, you've got Darnell Mooney. You did a good job drafting that guy. pretty good for a fifth-round draft pick, right? You feel good about him moving forward. Who else? Do you want Javon Wims on this team? I'm not saying you just get rid of the guy, but, man, you know, he was suspended by the league. He was punished by the Bears. He punched a guy selfish in that game that you ended up losing in overtime. Who knows? Then you look at Anthony Miller. I don't know if you can trust him. If you took valuable practice time to study a certain player and warn everyone about what happened with Wims, and he goes and does it again, and he's had a very uneven year, I don't know that I'd want him on my team, frankly. I don't know if I'd want either of those two.
I don't know that I do either. I think those guys have proven that they're difficult guys to trust, and Anthony Miller time and again tends to, you know, show up in the headlines or as a topic of conversation for things that are negative results, things that don't go well or right, and he loses his head or he runs the wrong route and he's a palms up guy. And Javon Wims, you know, look, we've talked about him extensively twice this year, once when he punched somebody and once when he dropped a pass. So those are the kind of guys that you can live without and move on from, and I don't think that's a very difficult decision at all.
And then you got a guy in Kevin Ridley, not to be confused with Calvin. Calvin is his brother. He's a great receiver. Kevin, who goes by his middle name Riley Ridley, hasn't really seen the field. He was a fourth-round draft pick. And he's 2 years into his career, and next year, maybe the deciding year in a player's career, we got to see if he can play.
Yeah, let's find out. Let's find out what he's got. We know Darnell Mooney's a guy that you don't want to overstate his value, but he looks like he's on the right track. You know, you can go out and find wide receivers. Not that you're going to have the most dynamic passing game, but I'm not minimizing the impact of Allen Robinson, just it bears repeating. He's a great Bear. He's a great wide receiver, but I just don't know if he is worth it for that kind of investment for a team with so many other needs.
Blackhawks open their season tonight, and we've got Eddie Olczyk telling us what's going to happen and how the year's going to go, and we'll do that next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.